come, and you think, and I thought about this, and I think about that. You know how like you go and you watch a movie or you go to something and you're in a theater and the loud music kind of pounds at you and there's something going on and you get all this adrenaline and you feel the tingling in your body. You know what I'm saying? When that happens. And you think about when we're in heaven, how that'll be. I mean, that's such an amazing thought to think that we're going to be standing in the presence of this God that created this universe. And to me, that's intense. I mean, that's really intense, isn't it? And praise the Lord, he saved me, you know? Praise the Lord for that. So, thanks, hon. I love that song. That was great. This past week, I don't know, June. So what comes out in June? June bugs. They said the June bugs come out. And you have all the fireflies are out. And so I was watching the fireflies and the other year, the dog, when it was a puppy, it would run outside at nighttime and start barking. I'm like, what's wrong with this dog? Well, here's all the fireflies. And it was trying to jump up and get these fireflies. So this morning, what do fireflies like to eat? Light snacks. They like to eat light snacks. What did one girl firefly say to the other? You glow, girl. So, girls in the house, I might be using that this week. And you might be sick of it, but I kind of like that. I'm going to say it just like that. You glow, girl. What is a firefly's favorite song? Debbie Boone sang this one, if you remember this song. You Light Up My Life, right? Okay. So anyhow, I thought these jokes would light up the light, you know, the light here, and just wanted to bring you some brightness to your day this morning. So let's just open up in prayer. Father, Lord, holy, holy, holy. Are you, Lord, speak to us this morning. Help us to remember that we are here to worship you and to study your words so we can implement and affect people for you. Help us remember that this morning. In your name we pray, amen. Today's message, we're going to be gone next week and DJ will be filling in next week, and I was kind of back and forth on where to go because we was coming off Israel, and you know you still see Israel all over the news and anti-Semitism and all this stuff going on. So I was like, where do I want to go this week on a message? And I just kind of was looking at it, and I was you watch the news and you watch everything taking place, and I like news. And so many times it's kind of discouraging, right? I mean, it is. And so I just wanted to bring another encouraging message out again this morning of the power of words. The power of words, what words can mean and what they mean when they come out of our mouth. So I wanted to start with that because sometimes, and I've told you before, sometimes for me, I find as I'm getting older, sometimes I'm not as, I have a short temper. I try to watch that, and I think I've gotten better, but I still kind of watch that, and I try to maintain. But as I see myself getting older, I tell somebody something, and I'm just like, well, why can't you get it? And you know what I mean? I just wanted to put that power of words. It was meant mainly for me. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just trying to think, okay, what does this mean? And it's really coming down to me. When I was growing up as a kid, this talks a little bit more about why I am the way I am. My father used to quote this poem. And there was stuff that would come up and he would quote this poem, and it's, I love this poem. And this is it. It's by Edgar Guest. And maybe you guys know It Couldn't Be Done. Have you ever heard that poem? So when he said this poem throughout my life, I was like, man, I love that poem. You know, I kind of took it as kind of like an internal type of thing, like that. I can do that. So this is how the poem goes. Somebody said that it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled in with the trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hit it. He started to sing as he tackled that thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. Somebody scoffed, "Oh, you'll never do that. At least no one has ever done it." But he took off his coat and he took off his hat, and the first thing he knew, he'd begun it. With a lift of his chin and a bit of a grin, without any doubting or quit it, he started to sing as he tackled that thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start to sing as you tackle that thing that couldn't be done, and you'll do it. I always love that. You know, and it's kind of like a challenge. When someone tells me now, you can't do that. Oh, look out, baby. Because, I mean, it's like that's – when I started rock climbing in college, my mom was worried and said, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, that's all I need. You can't do that. Nah, guess what? Well, then that's what I'm doing because I was told I can't do something. And this, if my father knew it or not at the time, it kind of not spurred in a sense of rebellion in me, but kind of like a challenge in my life, right? If it can't be done, if it's hard, it's kind of, and that's like a challenge. Someone says it can't be done. No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it done. We're going to, and you think about that. You always hear about farmers and you hear about rednecks, you know, and get her done, you know, and guys can get stuff done, can't they? You've ever seen a farmer who people look at stuff and a farmer comes along and they can get it done. You know, they could, you tell them you can't do something. Well, before you know it, it's done. And so that poem to me really influenced a lot of who I have become. And I was reading some of that and studying this week. I just wanted to look at these words and what Proverbs says, and we're going to be touching a little things, but we're going to be starting first in Proverbs, and we're going to be hitting first Proverbs 18. We're going to hit four verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 18, 21, Proverbs 13, 3, Proverbs 12, 14, and Proverbs 12, 18. So Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The power of life and death. If we hold to scripture, and I'm saying this to myself, if I hold to scripture that this is God's truth and the mysteries that God has is in within this word, what does that say? The tongue has the power of life and death. What comes out of our mouth, the words that we speak, hold to that power of life and death many times for what we say to people, isn't it? Because I was reading some studies, for all the negative things, and they're showing how things work best for people to understand things. Now, I'm not for all things like, hey, everything's great, hunky-dory. Okay, we know that God also talks about discipline, doesn't he? So I'm not saying it's all about everything's cheery and roses. But for every, in this study, for every, and a leadership study in businesses, like how to get your employees to put out like 100%, or 110%, or how much you want to get. If you have these slackers or if you have these great people, like how to really instill a leadership into people. And when it comes down to positive words and words of encouragement to people. And for every one word of discouragement or correction, or there should be five words of positive, something encouraging. So when Scripture talks about this, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Scripture talks about that same principle. Proverbs 13:3. He who guards his lips guards his life. Once again, comes back to the tongue, lips, and right back to life. What's coming out of our mouth? Life or death? He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. We're supposed to be guarding what comes out of our mouth. The other week, we were down actually at Jaden's graduation. And, you know, once again, my evil temper flared its head. We were going into the graduation. And, you know, you had to park way far out, and you're walking in, and you get up to the gate, and it's, you know, it's a gate. And all of a sudden they said, well, you can't take bags in. I was like, what? And, you know, all the girls had all their bags. Like, they just trapped. We just walked a half an hour from the parking lot. And I said, are you kidding me? You know, I said, why didn't you put a sign out? And so I kind of got a little, like, I felt my, like, try to calm it down. I'm at liberty. And now I think, like, I think, okay, people, if someone would see me, what do they see? So I got angry, but I didn't send in my anger, okay? So I got angry. I kind of said something. And I calm back down, and I just, you know, but I was trying to guard my lips, because I know for me, and Jen's probably thinking he wasn't guarding his lips. He lost, yeah, I can see. Yeah, okay, girls. Okay, you girls leave now. So I was trying to guard my, what came out of, you know, what, how I presented that. Like, so, but because I know Scripture is so clear on the words of this, life and death. What comes out of this? Our tongue, our lips, our mouth. Yeah, it's definitely called think before you speak. Proverbs 12:14. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. I often thought about this when you know, being in sales. So a lot of people, there's a lot of people that work with their hands, and you have farmers, and you have blue collar workers, you have electricians and carpenters, and you have, you know, guys that are out there, working with their hands every day. And then you have guys that are working every day just by their mouth. And it's kind of what Scripture talks about right here, of the fruit of your labor through your mouth. Is the same rewards as coming from your hands. Proverbs 12:14, and then Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. The tongue of the wise bring healing. What does that look like? This past week we saw, what did we have? We had a lot of celebrations about D-Day. And you know what, D-Day, do you know what the D stands for D-Day? Does anyone know? Like, we've talked about it for, you know, how many, I've been a little kid, you always talk about D-Day, Battle of Normandy, and you have the D-Day. The D stands for day. So it was Day-Day. So that was like their code word, like this, for this battle. But they said it sounds better as D-Day, but it just means day. So as I started looking at this past week of D-Day, and we think about that time, and it's almost like history's repeating itself. We see that the Jews are being persecuted once again. And it took me to a story that happened in the late 1930s. There was a lady and a family in Germany who they saw what was coming. They saw the persecution starting. They saw what was coming up, and they had an opportunity. They heard in Germany, they heard that if you could get to Berlin, that there were some visas that they were giving out to a select few people. So she told her husband, we need to get to Berlin. And he said, well, I have to work. I can't get there. She said, well, I have the kids. I can't get there. So she was left to think, what can I do? So she found somebody to watch the kids. And she the next day got on a train, got a ticket, spent the money to go to Berlin, got a cab, and went to the address, late 1930s. So how many years before D-Day, right? So she gets to this address that she was given of where she could get a visa. So as she walked up the steps to get into the building and got into the room, she opens the door and it's filled with these people. A lot of people in this room. It was hot. It was small. It was congested. People are standing around, standing room only. And there was one government bureaucrat that sat at a table, and he sat there. So she sat down. No instructions were given, and she sat there waiting for a visa, just like everybody else in there. So all day long, after spending the money for a ticket, getting a cab, getting to this location, sitting all day in a hot, filled room with tons of people, at the end of the day, the guy, first thing he said was, well, no visas today. See you tomorrow if you want one. And they didn't do anything all day. All day they sat there. The bureaucrat, government guy, he didn't say anything all day until he said, time to go. He said, if you want one, come back tomorrow. People were a little upset. She was like, what am I going to do? I had someone to watch my kids today. And she said, this might be my only opportunity to get out of Germany. And she didn't know what to do. So she actually found a place to stay. She said, I'm going to give it another day. So she found a place to stay that night, stayed the night. Next morning, she goes back in, open up the steps, open the door, filled with people. It's hot and stuffy. And she sits down. And once again, the government worker was sitting at the desk, not saying anything. Late 1930, so it was hot, right? Probably maybe fans going, maybe. And so she sat down or stood, and once again, all day long, and no break, just waiting. End of the day, the government worker said, oh, no visas today. Time to go home. 2 days of sitting, everybody in that room, and no one got a visa. Well, at that time, people jumped up and said, and started complaining and yelling at the guy and causing a big commotion. And I can't imagine how, like, I think how I would have been. I would have been like, are you, like, you know, and rightly so. You waste 2 days of time. But these people really started to lose it. And the government worker just kind of was packing up his things, and everyone's yelling at him. And this lady worked her way through the crowd. And instead of saying something mean and complaining, the power of words. She used the power of words. Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. This woman, Jewish woman, grew up hearing Old Testament, understood scripture, understood the meaning of Proverbs. She was wise. This lady walked up to the person, the government worker, and she said, sir, I just want to thank you for your time today. Have a good day. And that's pretty nice, right? I mean, that's pretty kind. The power of words that this lady used. And she stood up, Didn't know what she was going to do. How am I going to get out of Germany? And headed towards the door. Everybody was filtering out. And as she got out, she's ready to go down the steps, pulling on the door, and all of a sudden she heard all this commotion and something running behind her. And here was this government worker. This government worker came up to her and with papers in his hand. And he said, ma'am, he said, I had so few visas that I didn't want to give any out because he was scared to, you know, how many he had. He said, but I want to give these to you. Power of words. This woman being wise, a wise woman. How many times, men, do we know that our wives are very wise? I know for years now. I'm building brownie points at home. Now, that we have wise wives. And many times wives will say to, Jen will say to me, honey, and it makes me think. And or she'll do something and I'll be like, what's she doing? A wise woman. This lady was a wise woman. And she took the power of words and instead of complaining, gave a life to this person, a kindness, a healing almost to them. And she got out of the power of words and probably, honestly, through a lot of prayer. And she, I don't know how much she was praying about it, but the words, the story is that the kindness of her, she was the only one that talked to this guy in a kind way. And she got out with her family out of Germany. Late 1930s. We know what happened from the late 1930s up to the mid, 40s. She probably saved her family's life. Right? I mean, that's the fact. A wise woman. Reckless words, Jeff, to me, reckless words pierce like a sword. Because so many times, I mean, if you think about for us, can you think back, and it might not be hard, of some piercing words that somebody might have said to you? I know I can. It's not too hard, is it? Because they pierced like a sword and a stabbing. I got stabbed. And those words can hurt. And they can hurt for years. And it can change people's lives. I mean, I see so many times, and Dr. Dobson always used to talk about, and he bringing up boys, and we had just all four boys. I was like, what am I doing raising these boys? Now I'm like, what am I doing raising these girls? But bringing up boys, I had all these boys, so we had this book, and I'm trying to read, and it's so much in there is about encouragement, about what you speak into your children. So grandparents, what do we speak into our grandkids? I'm a grandpa now. Two times over, two more on the way. What am I speaking into my kids? What am I speaking into the life of my wife? What am I speaking into the life of people? This past week, I talked to a guy in business. I found out he had a heart attack, like in January. I said, Keith, you didn't tell me you had a heart attack. And he said, well, what's that matter, Jeff? I said, well, Keith, you're more of a business associate than you're more of a friend than a business associate. It's like, I would have been praying for you. He said, well, you know, when my time's done, it's my time's done. And we talked about the Lord and this and that. But what comes out of our mouth to people around us all the time, it can either pierce like a sword or we can be wise. And we can give a blessing of healing onto somebody, right? That come, and those things need to be sometimes just, so that's what today is, just to remember this for us, for me, to remember how we need to speak life into people. In Matthew, Jesus talks about this. Matthew 12. And we're going to start in 35. The importance of words, the power of words. Matthew 12, this is what our Lord says in verse 35. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings up evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Wow. It's been said, I'm not sure if you heard about that, the heart and the soul is like a well. Have you ever heard this? The heart and soul is like a well, and your mouth is like a bucket. That bucket goes down in the well, and you pull that bucket up filled with water. That's kind of what comes out of our mouth, isn't it? From our soul, the well-being of us. And this is Jesus saying, and I have to think about this, and Jesus says, but I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. How many words have we spoken? How many words have come out of my mouth that were careless? That I wasn't being wise? That I maybe ripped into somebody or criticized somebody that I shouldn't have criticized? That I could have given words of encouragement that would have uplifted somebody, that would have directed someone to the power of the cross, the power of salvation. But in my humanity, I maybe hit it with a little bit too much anger, right? Because what was in my soul? And now comes the bucket of my mouth of boom. So the power of words, verse 37. For by the words you will be acquitted, and by the words you will be condemned. What's coming out of our mouth? You know? Do we complain? Do we have moments that we need to step back and maybe walk away and think about what's coming to come out of our mouth. Think before we speak. The power of words has life, can hold life or death. So as we work this week, as we travel this week, work this week, play this week, plan this week, whatever we're doing in our week, and something comes up. I mean, this is, scripture is all over this one, right? How we are supposed to be encouraging to one another as believers, and then how we're supposed to be encouraging to the outside world. Bringing those people to see who Christ is. And if we're not kind, if we are not thinking before we speak, and we just let some of the evil that might be in our guts, that some of the anger, some of the frustration levels, some of the things that just turn us inside, turn us upside down, inside out throughout the day, maybe that doesn't happen to you. Maybe when you get hit in a traffic jam, you're just like, praise God, I'm in a traffic jam. I mean, does that, you know, I was talking to Dawson Mast when he spoke the other week. He said he can get frustrated when they have some farm fields out 23. So, you know, big tractors running down 23 and people are all lined up. He said people can get mad. And why? You know, why? And there's people that are in a traffic jam, stuck behind a tractor. What's coming out of their mouth? And I can't defend what's coming out of their mouth, but I do know this. I can watch what comes out of my mouth. I know that and I can take from scripture what God has told us of the power of words. What God has told us in scripture is also defined and seen in the research of modern day technology of the positive, not positive thinking, but positive words given to somebody and how that helps them grow. How that can help somebody along their way in business. How it can help someone along their way in coaching or sports or however that may look. The power of words. That's what we need to think about. That's what I need to think about, of how that best can happen in our bubbles, in our worlds, in our spheres. And think about that. How can you encourage your grandkids? Maybe, does anyone have great grandkids in here? Okay. How can the power of words influence great grandchildren? How can the power of words influence your grandkids? How can the power of words, when I say the power of words, it's obviously the words of God, the words of Christ, positive, influencing, biblical, principled words. How can it influence our children? How can it influence our neighbors? How can it influence the person at the bank when we go up to the window? How can it influence the gas, you're at the gas station and you see somebody that might need some help? How can the power of what comes out of our mouth influence somebody that has the effect that this woman in Berlin was able, this wise woman was able to get her family out of Berlin because of what and how she spoke? The wisdom of Scripture should be overflowing in our life and to people. That's what I wanted to encourage you with this morning. Because I think that's something I know I need many times. And I try to be that person. And many times I don't. Before we end in prayer, a lot of times we get caught up in traditions. We get caught up, hey, this is how I always do it. This is what I do. So we had an elders meeting this week, and John mentioned to me just a simple statement. Now, we're not going to sing afterwards, but I said, you know what? I need to change something at the end of the service so it's just not like, hey, we're leaving. So I want everyone to stand. Stand with me. If you can. If you don't, if you want to sit, you can sit, but it's, and I want you to, we're going to repeat the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, our Savior, who spoke to his Father while he was on earth, and we're going to do it in the King James. I don't have it up on the screen, so you can repeat after me, because I think we all know the King James. I love the King James version of the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to start, and you repeat after me, and we'll do this in unison as prayer to our Savior, our God. The holy, holy, holy who is on the throne. That's who we're speaking to. Remember that. Our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Forever. Amen. I'm going to end in prayer. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord, and I thank you for this time that we could just look towards you, that we can look into your word, that we can get encouraged by what you give us in Scripture to help us to be better people to serve you. Not better people to make more money, not better people to do all sorts of stuff for the world, but to do something for you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you show us on how what we can speak, what we can say to people that can influence somebody's life. Lord, help me, specifically, Lord, help me to watch what I say, to know, to be wise when things come out of my mouth. And I pray for that for us as a church. I pray for our church to be a lighthouse here. To this community, that what they see on the outside is even better on the inside because we're full of love and loving people and helping others. Lord, I pray for that. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. In your name we pray. Amen.